listening, Saints of God. This is Sheila Crawford, the Lord's servant. Thanks for tuning in to the news portion of the Shofar Ministries Hour. Well, Iran and six world powers met again for another round of negotiations in Vienna today, of course aimed at settling differences entailing Iran's nuclear program. Hopefully an agreement will be finalized by late July. They want to have one finalized by then. I don't know that they will, but despite wide differences, they have, I don't know how they're going to make it. But the chief negotiators are from, obviously, Iran, the United States, France, Germany, Britain, China, and Russia is included, which I thought is interesting. Speaking of which, the Ukraine is still in much turmoil as two more eastern cities voted yesterday to break ties with Ukraine and declaring independence. At this time, most feel they will join the pro-Russian movement. Obama is threatening more sanctions, and what is humorous is that Putin has done the same by forbidding the United States to continue to use their Russian engines for launching our American rockets. You see, Russian-made engines are fitted on our U.S. Air Force Atlas V launch system rockets. Anticipating that Putin might have done this, Washington did go shopping in recent weeks for a substitute, but could not find any. So, some U.S. ICBMs are therefore idle. Washington was also informed of the International Space Station by U.S. astronauts could be withdrawn as well. I don't know, sounds to me like a little tit-for-tat, wouldn't you say? Anyhow, civil war continues in Syria as its citizens cry out for international assistance. Israeli experts fly to Nigeria to help in the collection of intelligence, which is a critical step in facing the Nigerian forces right now. But Israel will help analyze data and most likely prepare a rescue operation. A U.S. Navy SEAL team and intelligence experts are there as well. So let's keep the Christian girls in your prayers. Also, Pope Francis has declared yesterday that everyone has the right to be baptized, even an expedition of alien Martians, should they come knocking on the church's door. This is not the first time we have heard this from the Vatican. I just wonder, are they trying to prepare us for something? But here is some really good news. Many more Jews are getting saved. In fact, many say it's like a revival due to the well-liked and revered Rabbi Kaduri's written message that he left his followers declaring Yeshua as the Messiah. He said to open it after his death. You know, timing is everything. If you have not been washed in the blood, you'd better really get ready. Now stay tuned and don't move that mouse. The Shofar Ministries Hour continues right now.
Shalom and welcome to the Shofar Ministries Hour live on 1220 AM Christian Radio and the World Wide Web at WHKWradio.com. My name is Kent Littlejohn, your co-host tonight with our Bible teacher Sheila Crawford, which you can re-listen to later this week on shofarministries.net. So get your Bible and get ready to take some notes. But first, Sheila, will you open tonight's program with prayer?
Yes, I will. Lord Heavenly Father, we lift up to you this particular prayer request given to me through the mail this month and also the written request given to me at our last assembly. There's so many needs and many requests for salvations. But first, Father, we thank you for your Son, who has saved and healed us from our major disease called sin. We highly praise you for that. And as we hold up these written prayer requests, we beseech you, Abba Father, in the name of Jesus, to heal those sicknesses and diseases, especially the rare cancers like the one on my dear brother's ears that could affect the lungs. We come against that and all cancers afflicting those who are called by your name and listening right now. We stand against the evil one as we claim healing to the body, healing to the mind, and as well, healings for drugs or alcohol addictions plaguing our loved ones. We ask for favor, Lord, in this era of declining morals and economic hardships in a nation that's really in free fall. Lord, without you, we are nothing. And we recognize we are nothing. But with you, we can do all things as we stand on your word, knowing you are coming soon. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Sheila, before we get into the passing of the scroll chapter, let us remind our listeners that they can listen to our past program on Revelations 1, 2, 3, and 4 at the shofarministries.net.
Sure, Candy, but first I want to say welcome. Thanks for stepping in for John so that he can dedicate more time to his own ministry. And because I don't know if people know this, he's not only a great musician, but he's going to be doing some teaching as well. But you'll be hearing him from time to time when we play a song or we play a past program, and who knows, maybe he'll be a guest co-host once in a while. And I'd like to remind our listeners that your end-time biblical questions can be sent to me by email at sheila@shofarministries.net, or you can mail them in to Box 513 in Burton, Ohio, 44021. And the lines are open should you have an end-time question. 888-677-WORD. That's 888-677-WORD. And I'm thinking maybe we should do a little review of like the first four chapters since we're into chapter five, which I've done all four chapters previous, and it's all on the webpage, as we said. But in, so by the way, out there, turn your Bibles to Revelation, have it open so that you can follow us along. This is a time when we like to study the Word of God intensely. Studying it verse by verse is what I believe helps people grow more than anything else. And we need to be growing in Him all the time so that we'll have all our armor on, because the days are evil. Wouldn't you say so, Kent?
I would agree.
Yes. So, all right, let's go to Revelation chapter 1. And we know that John had a vision of Jesus Christ in all his glory. And he is instructed, John is instructed, to write down what he had just saw, which was the vision, as well as the things that are. That meant the present tense. And, of course, we know that was the church age. And we're still in the church age. And that was demonstrated in his seven letters to seven churches. And, again, I've covered that quite a bit.
Okay, Sheila, let me stop you there for just a minute. I am seeing how often God uses sevens.
Oh, yes.
In his word, particularly in Revelation,
right,
which
right.
is quite overwhelming.
It really is overwhelming. I don't think people really realize. But seven is the number for completion. And that's why we can know that since God created everything in 6 days and then rested on the seventh day, that, and I talked about this actually last week, a day is as 1,000 years. So, at the very close of 6,000 years from Adam, begins the last 1,000 years of history. Now, the first 7 years of that 1,000 years of history represents the nighttime of that day, which is why every day begins in the evening. There's a picture here. It's called typology. But this 7 years is going to be very dark, and especially spiritually. Like, can you even imagine, Kent, at the moment of the rapture, when all the light is taken up, just how really dark it's going to be spiritually? And that, of course, is when Satan has been, he's been waiting for this forever. And it's at that point that he's going to get this added power to do what Revelation talks about.
So, right now, he's being restrained by our light still being here.
Exactly. And that's what 2 Thessalonians 2 talks about, addresses it quite clearly, actually. You see, in Revelation alone, there are not just seven churches, but seven seals, seven trumpets, seven bowls, seven stars, seven lampstands.
And many in the Old Testament, too.
Oh, yeah, there is, really. What comes to my mind is like the 7 years of plenty and then the 7 years of famine in Genesis. Remember with Joseph?
Mm-hmm.
Seven priests of Joshua. The seventh year is the Sabbath of the land, also called the Shemitah, which is why the Jews were in Babylon for 70 years, because they didn't keep the Sabbath of the land for 490 years. So the land had to lay fallow for 70 years to make up for that time.
But that wasn't the only reason, was it?
No. They were actually not doing right as well. And, of course, Jeremiah explains all that. You know, he was the weeping prophet and they wouldn't repent. But anyhow, since we're on a roll, I think it might be fun right now to do some more sevens. Because it took 7 years to build Solomon's temple, and there are even seven steps leading up to his throne. And you know, the slaves were always set free in the seventh year. And in John's gospel account, Jesus performed his first miracle on the seventh day of his ministry. That was the water into wine. And you know, there's only seven psalms that are specifically ascribed to David. And you know what, Kent, even in the Ten Commandments, there are seven do-nots.
Seven feasts.
And then seven feasts, that's another one. And there's seven main offerings and seven world empires. Jesus will be the eighth empire, and of course his number is eight, which stands for never-ending or infinity, new beginnings. And did you realize that Jesus hung on the cross for 6 hours? And in the seventh hour, his pain was over. And in Exodus 24, Moses was on the mountain for 7 days when God called out to him. And according to Matthew 17, it was after 6 days, or the seventh day, that the transfiguration occurred. I mean, isn't this amazing stuff?
A lot of patterns.
Yes, exactly. Oh, and there's one more that I think I should mention. Remember in 1967, well, I know you're too young, but I remember in 1967 when Israel regained control over Jerusalem. Well, it took 6 days of war, and it was victory by the seventh day.
Which, by the way, just happened to fall on the Sabbath.
Okay, well, you do know that. You might not have been alive, but I know you've read about it. Well, anyway, Jesus even told Naaman to wash in the river 7 times for his healing. There are 7 parables in Matthew 13. And Enoch, a picture of the church who was taken up, was the 7th descendant down from Adam. And my last one for tonight is that the Jewish honeymoon had to be for a week or 7 days. Now, it could be 7 weeks if you were rich and wanted it to be, but it had to be 7.
And another reason, our honeymoon has to be 7, not 3.5.
Exactly. That's absolutely right. So people that say it's a mid-trib, impossible. And again, this is just telling you, I'm telling everybody out there, it's just so important to know a little bit of Hebraic roots, because it really helps you connect the dots as to how the end times is going to be. I've learned so much in just knowing some of the expressions and the idioms and the customs, truly, and that's one of them. And there's so much more, but knowing this, doesn't it just make total sense that 6,000 years from Adam and Jesus takes over, and as soon as the 7-year tribulation is done, he sets up his kingdom on earth, that he actually began to reign when we actually meet him and we go up to heaven? He is soon crowned king, and that's when his reigning begins. So for the first 7 years of that 1,000-year period, he's going to be in heaven reigning by opening up the scroll, and et cetera, et cetera. So some of the graphs actually show the 7 years separate from the 1,000, but in actuality, it's the beginning of that 1,000 years, and it's related to the nighttime of the day. Makes a lot of sense when you really put it all together, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. It really is a deliberate design.
Oh, absolutely. And by the way, if you're interested, there's so much more of this type of thing in a book written by Dr. Ivan Panin, P-A-N-I-N. You've probably heard of it. And he does a lot more with these numbers and the sevens. And I could have just spent all night actually giving examples. But that's not really what we want to do. We just want to show that the whole Bible is by design and everything has a purpose. Deliberate design.
But we better move on.
Okay. All right. Again, back to the vision of Jesus Christ in chapter 1. The church age is in chapters 2 and 3. And then we see in chapter 4, which I again talked about just a few weeks ago, we see that immediately after the church age, and that Hebrew expression in the very beginning of chapter 4 is metatata, which means right away. Okay, so as soon as the church age is over, then John is called up to heaven. And that's a picture of us. So, anyway, here's the calling of the voice of the shofar trumpet. And we know the gate is open for the righteous to enter. And we talked about that in Isaiah 26, where it says, the gates are open so the righteous who keep the truth may enter in. Okay. And John immediately sees God on the throne. He sees 24 elders sitting around him, and we talked about how that was 12 apostles and the 12 leaders of the 12 tribes of Israel. And we talked about the sea of glass that's up there, and now the saints can stand on it. He had a big rainbow around him, and of course we only see half the rainbow, the other half's in heaven. That's what everyone says. Seven lamps of fire, which in chapter 1, verse 20, absolutely says it represents the church. But now in chapter 4, it's in heaven.
Clue. Wink, wink. It's a clue.
That is definitely a clue. You betcha. After the church age, the bride does go to heaven. And we're up there for a 7-year honeymoon while the tribulation goes on in the earth. And, of course, we're up in heaven because when we come back with him in Revelation 19, verse 7, we are then called his wife. So we had to be up there long enough for a wedding to occur. And, of course, for Jesus to be crowned, the coronation of him, for us to get all our rewards.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. As well, John saw these four living creatures, and we covered all that in detail again, as I said.
Which our listening audience can go and shofarministries.net and listen.
That's right. We can't say that enough. There's a plethora of knowledge with all those radio shows. Every single show is labeled as to what the topic is, and you can learn a lot, especially about Hebraic roots and the end of days. So now that takes us to Jesus has been crowned in heaven as king over the earth. Now he's going to take the scroll in chapter 5 and begins to unseal it, which will begin the tribulation in chapter 6. But let's not get ahead of ourselves. I was wondering, Kent, if you could read just verse 1, and I will comment.
And I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll written inside and on the back, sealed with 7 seals.
Okay. Now, this is really interesting because this was written during the Roman time, and it just so happens that Roman law required that all deeds and wills had to be sealed 7 times, and it had to be spaced throughout the scroll. It couldn't just be on the outside, okay? It also had to be written on both sides of the parchment.
So why is that?
Good question, and I knew you would ask. Nothing else could be added by someone else. In other words, you know, at the end of it, maybe add some addendum or something like that. It had to be written totally on both sides so that no one could add to it. Even with the writing getting bigger if necessary toward the end, so to finish the page. That had to be interesting to look at. But archaeologists have looked at it, and they found actually the wills of Caesar Augustus and Vespasian, I think it's how you pronounce it, which was written just like that, with the writing getting bigger toward the end and written on both sides. So now the scroll that is given to the Lamb here in verse 1, I believe is the will and testament of the earth. And it had to be redeemed only by the kinsman redeemer, who is able and also willing. You see, Kent, the title deed to the earth was really handed over to Satan by Adam when he sinned, because he lost dominion. Then after 4,000 years, Jesus purchased it back by his payment of death, and that's why he's called the second Adam or the last Adam. And in a sense, you could say it's kind of been an escrow since his resurrection, because Satan's been a usurper, and it's getting time for him to leave.
So in a sense, chapter 5 begins the closing of the escrow deal.
Yeah, you could say that. But just like in some renters, they get the place sometimes kind of dirty, and even dirtier when they know they will have to move out. What an analogy that is.
In fact, he will be evicted by the landlord himself.
Right. Very good thinking. But, you know, going back to these renters, I don't know if you've ever had to deal with that, but it's pretty amazing that people do let their places get kind of dirty when they know they're moving out.
Mm-hmm.
But it gets dirtier even at the very end. And isn't that what Satan is doing to the earth?
And that's what we're seeing.
You know, he's trying to and has accomplished getting it dirty, you know, with his sin.
Mm-hmm.
And it's getting worse as he's getting time to move out. I just thought that was pretty interesting.
Well, then that moves us into the next question. Would you define what the kinsman redeemer really means?
I can. Let's see. Well, a good example actually is in the book of Ruth. And by the way, we're going to be going over that book in a couple of weeks because we're going to be getting closer to Pentecost. And the book of Ruth is always read during Pentecost. Now, it's pretty amazing because, you know, the Jews have decided to read it, and really the book of Ruth is about a Gentile who marries a kinsman redeemer, who in our case, we marry Jesus, who is our kinsman redeemer. But I suppose they read the book of Ruth during Pentecost mainly because it is talking about the wheat harvest, and Pentecost is about the wheat harvest. So anyway, they read that book, and that's coming up in a few weeks, so. But it's also detailed in Leviticus 25. But in a nutshell, the kinsman redeemer, also called a goel in Hebrew, has to be, of course, a kinsman, a relative. And let's go back to when Joshua actually took Canaan. At that time, lots or areas of land were allocated to the 12 tribes. Now, the title conveys by genealogy what area would belong to what tribe. So if you were in that tribe, you had a certain portion through your genealogy.
Oh, so that's why the genealogies, the begots, the he begot and so on, and was so,
you know, the
so
boring
important.
Things?
Yeah, so important in the Old Testament, really.
Yeah, it's pretty important, actually. I could give you a lot more examples. We can actually figure out how old man is just because of the genealogies, knowing when the next patriarch was born.
Mm-hmm.
So, but anyway. Okay, so say that you had land in your family, but you were kind of in some financial trouble and you needed to liquidate some of your assets for profit. Well, you could never sell it outright. They weren't allowed to do that. But you were allowed to lease the land, you know, like to a neighboring tribe so that they'd have more room for added growing or grazing, for instance. So they would pay an appropriate price based on when the next Jubilee was, because every 50 years, all the land went back to the rightful owner. How about that? So let's say it was like 30 years to the next Jubilee, and a purchaser then would pay to use it for 30 years. So if he had to pay for it only for 10 years, it would be lower, you know. So, again, they couldn't just pay for it every year. Okay, well, I'll use it another year and give you the money. It had to be for a set amount of time to the next Jubilee, and the price had to be set accordingly. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So, you know, in other words, they needed to know that they could have it for a good while to, you know.
So they had basically sufficient time to work the land to produce better crops.
Yes, thank you. That's exactly right. So now a male relative or a kinsman could actually perform the part of the goel, you know, in other words, go in and buy the land back for somebody that wanted to have it back and didn't have the money. But in the case of Ruth, for when you read the book of Ruth, Naomi and Ruth, they went back to the land and they didn't have the money. So in other words, for their kinsman redeemer to purchase it, he would also have to agree to marry either Naomi or Ruth. And of course, Ruth was the younger one. So Boaz would be qualified. He was a kinsman and he would actually agree to marry Ruth. And we know he does when you read the story. But again, as I already said in typology, Boaz is a type of our Redeemer who redeems the land for us. It's a great book. And again, we'll be covering this more in details in a few weeks.
So you probably are telling me to read up on Ruth for preparation.
How would you? Yes. You guessed well. You know what? We're going to have to take a quick break. I didn't realize the time was just flying by here. And we're going to play a song by the king of the Messianic music, Paul Wilbur. And stick around. We'll be right back after the song.
Your glory fill the sky.
Welcome back to the Shofar Ministries Hour. That song was Adonai, which of course is
Very
Hebrew
nice song.
For the Lord.
Yeah.
Beautiful song by Paul Wilbur. And again, he is kind of like the king of Messianic song.
Do you have a question for Sheila, or would you like to hear her speak at your church or group? You may email her at sheila@shofarministries.net or just call the office at 440-834-9006 and please leave a detailed message.
Yes, please do. And remember, your donations are very vital to keeping this program on the air and are still tax deductible. So if you are being blessed by this program and learning from our teachings, then please consider being a contributor of any gift or perhaps a monthly sponsor. Or maybe you'd like to advertise your establishment on WHK.
Please send your love offering to Shofar Ministry, Box 513, Burton 44021. Or on our webpage, there's at shofarministries.net, a partner with us button on the left side, and all donations automatically puts you on Sheila's informative newsletter so that you can include your email or house address.
And remember, all newsletters and previous radio shows are archived on the shofarministries.net webpage, and you may order recorded teachings as well. And right now, the lines are open for your comments or questions relating to tonight's program. 888-677-WORD. That's 888-677-WORD.
And also, mark your calendars for the first Friday of every month. Shofar Ministry assembles together at Chester Christian Center, 11815 Chillicothe, which is Route 306 in Chesterland, Ohio, at 7 p.m.
That's right. Okay, let's continue on with Chapter 5 of Revelation. Jesus was given the scroll that contains the sealed judgments that are opened one at a time, one seal at a time, and that begins in Chapter 6. But first, 144,000 Jewish servants of God.
12,000 from each of the 12 tribes.
Yes, thanks for saying that. They are sealed with protection from all the plagues that are coming on the earth. Not even one hair on their heads will be touched. Since we are gone, they will be the new witnesses of that age, called the day, or the a Hebrew expression, actually, for that time is called the Atid Lavo. Yes, Atid Lavo.
Atid Lavo.
All right, anyway, all kings at their coronation, which is always on a Rosh Hashanah, were given a document. Let me repeat that. All kings at their own coronation, always on a Rosh Hashanah.
Hint.
Means head of the year. The new year, were given a document called an eduth, or the testimony, and it contained his qualifications, the king's qualifications, and the responsibility as king.
Ah, so this was the scroll that Jesus takes in chapter 5, verse 1.
No doubt about it. And again, it outlines what Jesus is about to do. Remember, Jesus adheres to all the Jewish customs and qualifications, and the king is no different. And a great example also of the king being given the testimony would be in 2 Kings 11, and it's the story of Athaliah. It's a great story. She was the daughter of Jezebel and Ahab. Very, very wicked. Picture of the Antichrist in many respects. But we see that Joash was actually hidden for 6 years, and then in the seventh year, he was crowned king. It's kind of interesting because Jesus is not king for 6,000 years, but then in the seventh will be. You know, there's that picture there.
I see that.
But it talks about in 2 Kings 11, verse 12, that he was actually handed or given the testimony, which in Hebrew was called the eduth. So we see an example right there. And again, Jesus takes this scroll, and I believe that's his eduth. Is there any thoughts that you might have on that? That's pretty plain, right?
I think I can see that
picture. Okay, well, we've talked quite a bit on verse 1, so I think we should go on. And I'm going to have you read, actually, verse 2, 3, and 4, but I will, like, have a little comment in between, so.
Okay. Then I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the scroll and to loose its seals?" And no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look at it. So I wept much, because no one was found worthy to open and read the scroll or to look at it.
That's right. No one at all except Jesus Christ, as we'll see in the next verse.
In verse 5, "But one of the elders said to me, 'Do not weep. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed to open the scroll and to loose its seven seals.'"
Okay, remember, Jesus Christ meets the kinsman redeemer's qualification. As a man, he's a kinsman of Adam, and in fact called the second or last Adam in 1 Corinthians 15, and he was very willing, and therefore was able to pay, and he did with his life.
In verse 6 and 7, "And I looked, and behold, in the midst of the throne and of the four living creatures, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb, and as though it had been slain, having seven horns, seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, sent out into all the earth. Then he came and took the scroll out of the right hand of him who sat on the throne."
Okay, now, obviously, he still has the scars. We see that a lamb as though it had been slain. So he still has the scars, and of course we knew that he still has them, as evidenced by Thomas. Remember, after Christ's resurrection,
mm-hmm.
put his hand in the hole?
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, horns, and we see he had seven horns. Seven is the number of completion, you know that.
Mm-hmm.
But horns is always a symbol for power. So we see he had complete power, as well as all-seeing, because he had seven eyes, means complete, and the seven spirits of God. Now, we talked about that when we talked about chapter 4, because it said that he has seven spirits of God as well. And if you don't remember that, it's in Isaiah 11, 1 and 2, I believe, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you can check that out on your own then. But he took it from the Father. He took the scroll from the Father who was sitting on the throne. And we also, when we covered chapter 4, talked about the Ancient of Days who sat on the throne.
Mm-hmm.
So that was an interesting study. So I do highly recommend, if you haven't heard chapter 4 being taught, that you go and listen to that. So,
okay.
All right, maybe you could read verse 8.
"Now, when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints."
Now remember, as we've also said, heaven is actually the real temple. And just like the temple and tabernacle on earth had the altar of incense, so does heaven. And we know this by Hebrews. Hebrews, I think, chapter 4 mostly talks about how the tabernacle was just a picture of heaven. So when we pray, it's like incense to his nose. And when we pray his word, the smoke goes up even faster.
Ah.
That's my little added addition there.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of people pray, but I think it's important that we recognize the fact that if we can pray his word, that's even better. He hears that even faster. And all you have to do is, like, just put the person's name in it as you're praying the promises of God or whatever it is. It really works well.
And, of course, mean it.
And, of course, mean it.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. That's always the key there.
Mm-hmm.
Could you, and now most of this is just pretty self-explanatory, the rest of this. If you just take it slow, people will understand it quite well. How about reading verses 9 and 10 for me?
"And they sang a new song, saying, 'You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain, and having redeemed us to God by your blood, out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth.'"
Wow. we shall reign. That right there is just amazing to me. I mean, I know that we're going to be his bride and his wife, and I guess that makes us his queen, wouldn't you say?
Yeah.
So we're going to reign. So it's so much better if you're listening tonight and you don't know Jesus Christ to accept him now so that you can reign as well, because you can also wait and be a tribulation saint, I suppose, but they have a different job, I guess you could call it, different calling, when they're actually going to serve. And I think this would be a good time, and I'm going to read Revelation chapter 7, verses 14 and 15, and it'll explain the difference of us reigning and what the tribulation saints will be doing. And again, chapter 7 is about the tribulation saints from 9 on, but I'm going to read 14. And I said to him, "Sir, you know," and talking about who these people are. So he said to me, "These are the ones who come out of the great tribulation and washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." So obviously they get saved during the tribulation time. Different group of people, though. In verse 15, it explains, "Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will dwell among them." So different groups of people do different things, and we will rule and reign. And don't forget, during the millennial kingdom, there's going to be humans still. So we will have to help judge and help rule them while they're here.
Wow.
Yeah, exactly. Where the tribulation saints will be more serving. So let me see where we left off here. Verses 11, I guess you could probably try to finish it. Just let's read it slow because there's a lot of information, but it's very self-explanatory.
"And then I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands."
That's a lot. That is really a lot, and I would assume that those are like angels in that as well.
Well, it says even thousands of thousands,
I
so
know.
That's even more. So,
wow.
And saying with a loud voice.
Loud voice.
"Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing."
Very good.
"And every creature which is in heaven and on earth, under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, I heard saying."
Notice under the earth.
I saw that.
Yeah.
"Blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever. Then the four living creatures said, Amen.
Amen.
And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped him who lives forever and ever."
Wow, there's a lot of worship going on in heaven, wouldn't you say?
I would say yes.
We have a caller on the line, and we have just enough time to get her in. Let's take Dawn. You're on the line, Dawn. What is your question?
Hi, Sheila. Thanks for taking my question. Mm-hmm. I wanted to ask you, getting back to the 144,000,
sure.
That representing the 12 tribes of Israel.
Correct.
Now, will they be through the tribulation, or will they be taken up?
They are going to be all the way through the 7 years of the tribulation. When we actually see John looking at the tribulation saints, that's kind of a parenthetical couple verses, because the one thing about Revelation is that chapter 6 through 19 is all about the tribulation, but it is so heavy that every once in a while God will actually show John a picture of the end so that he can say, oh, thank goodness, and get a little breather. And so we know by Revelation 14 that all the 144,000 lives through it. Not a hair on their head will be singed even. They are sealed, and they will be the witnesses during the first half of the tribulation. And then they will go to the rest of the parts of the world and witness whatever's who's ever around then at that point for the last half of the tribulation. And then, of course, Jesus will return.
I see. Thank you for clarifying that.
Anything?
Thank you so much for your ministry, too.
Oh, thank you so much for saying that. I really appreciate that. It's good to know that people are listening.
Yeah, God bless. Bye-bye.
God bless you, honey. Bye-bye. All right. That was Dawn in Cleveland. Thank you, Don, for calling.
Thank you, Don.
And we're about almost running out of time. And I think we're going to have to close. But anyway, I wanted to thank you very much for being here tonight. And I know you were a little nervous, but as time goes on, I think that you'll be more relaxed, don't you think?
Oh, I think so.
Did you enjoy yourself?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Thanks for inviting me.
All right, we got to close. If you're listening out there and you have never made Jesus Lord over your life, or maybe you are one of those in Matthew 7 who only have that head knowledge and maybe not a heart conviction, you need to get on your knees right now. Don't wait another minute. If you hesitate, the enemy could take that seat away. Repent of your individual sins that are lingering in your life. Then commit or recommit your life to Yeshua. He's the Messiah of all, and he's knocking on the door of your heart. How could anyone not let him in? But it's always your choice, and yours alone, to choose him, thereby making it your decision where you go after death. Remember, God sends no one to hell. You decide yourself where your soul, that never dies, spends eternity. It has to go somewhere, with God or with Satan, but you must make the call. And because of Yeshua's resurrection, you can live happy forever and ever. And who knows what God can do and accomplish right now through you, through your life.
Would you like Sheila to speak at your church or group, or have a question? You may email her at Sheila@shofarministries.net or just call the office at 440-834-9006. And please pray about helping to sponsor the Shofar Ministries Hour.
You'll be blessed for doing it. And I'm going to give you the Aaronic blessing, which is in Numbers 6, 22 through 27. And I'm not as good as John was, but I'm going to do the best I can. Yevarecha Adonai v'yishmerecha, Ye'er Adonai panav eleka v'kunecha, Yaseh Adonai panav eleka v'yasem laha shalom.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Till next week, Sha'alu Shalom, Yerushalayim.
And please pray for the peace for Jerusalem, for those who love her shall prosper.
And that's not maybe, and of course you can find that in Psalm 122:6. A little reminder, send me those end time questions on email. I'll answer them next on the next program, or I might even email you back either way. I want some questions. It really does help the show go a little more smoothly. So that's Sheila@shofarministries.net, Sheila@shofarministries.net. I want to hear from you. Also, let me know if you gave your heart to the Lord tonight. I want to keep you in prayer. Shalom.
Shalom, everyone, and thanks for listening.
Thanks for spending your hour with Sheila Crawford and the Shofar Ministries broadcast on AM 1220 The Word. If you would like to help keep the show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click on the donate button on the left-hand side of the page, and it'll take you to PayPal's secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments you have about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@shofarministries.net. That's Sheila@shofarministries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries, right here on AM 1220, The Word.